The Watson Weekly is sponsored by Avalara. For e-commerce brands, tax compliance gets more complicated with every new channel, state, product, and market. Avalara Agentic Tax and Compliance helps automate the work behind the scenes so merchants can deliver a smoother customer experience. With accurate tax calculation at checkout, clearer visibility into tariffs and duties, and fewer surprises for customers when the order arrives. Avalara works with e-commerce platforms like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, and more, helping teams manage compliance faster and scale with more confidence. To learn more about Avalara's e-commerce compliance solutions and explore resources built for growing e-commerce brands, go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's May 25th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Home Depot Q1 by the numbers, Target Q1 2026 earnings, good but verify for the future, Google and Blackstone to launch AI cloud company, Publicis Group acquires LiveRamp for $2.2 billion. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week for the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. On June 4th, 11th, and 18th, I'll be hosting a Shopify Enterprise webinar series with operators who talk real. The series is sponsored by Avalara and Domain. To register, go to watsonweekly.com/events. This is not sponsored by Shopify and will contain content that executives and founders will want to hear. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Home Depot Q1 by the numbers. Start with the headline that everyone would lead with. Sales up 4.8% to $41.77 billion. Sounds healthy. Now put it next to comparable sales, which rose just 0.6%. That gap, 4.8 versus 0.6, is the whole quarter in two numbers. More than 4 points of growth came from somewhere other than the existing store base growing organically. And that somewhere is mostly SRS distribution, the Pro acquisition plus new stores. So when you hear sales were up nearly 5%, you do need to translate it. The business Home Depot already owned grew well under 1%. The next number, net income fell from $3.29 billion from $3.43 billion a year ago. And read that against the sales line one more time. Sales up 4.8%, but profit down about 4%. When revenue rises and profit falls, that's margin compression. They're selling more and keeping less of it. That's kind of a more important sentence than anything about mortgage rates. The sales beat was a little thin. Wall Street wanted $41.59 billion. Home Depot did $41.77 billion. Technically, that's a 0.4% beat. On comps, the Street wanted 0.8% and got 0.6%, a 2/10 miss. So the scorecard reads beat on sales, beat by pennies on adjusted EPS, missed on comps and profit down. Not exactly a strong quarter, and the quarter management is, I'm sure, relieved to have behind them. A couple of macro numbers worth filing away. Mortgage rates dropped below 6% in February for the first time since 2022, which should have lived a fire under the spring selling season. Then rates surged again. And existing home sales in April rose all of 0.2% month over month, well short of expectations. Housing turnover is what drives this business, and the turning is not over. I mean, there's no turnover. The guidance, which is the most honest number in this release, comparable sales flat to up 2%, and the bottom edge of both ranges is zero. When management's own floor for the year is no growth, they kind of tell you what visibility they have. Zero. So tally it up, a 4.8% headline carried by acquisitions, sub 1% organic comps, profit down, and guidance is flat. The numbers say we're trying desperately to hold the line. The press release says resilience, which I freaking hate that word at this point. Our second story, Target Q1 2026 earnings. Good, but verify for the future. Target reported this week and the top line was strong and the stock fell almost 5% anywhere. Hold on to that because the gap between those two facts is kind of the whole story. First, the good part. Net sales up 6.7% to about $25.5 billion. Comp sales up 5.6% driven by traffic, which you care about traffic, right? More people walked in and clicked buy. Every one of those six core merchandise categories grew. Digital was up almost 9%, same day delivery better than 27%. After 2 years of soft traffic and a brand that couldn't find its feet, this is the best top line quarter Target has shown in a while. But underneath the headline, the earnings number, $1.71 a share, looks fine until you see what's underneath it. Net income fell to $781 million from just over $1 billion a year ago. That $1.71 down 24% from last year's reported figure. It only looks like growth when you measure it against last year's adjusted number and ignore the rest of it. So, to be clear, sales went up while profit went down. Not a disaster, but Walmart's formula for the last 4 years has been profit growing faster than sales. It's not quite the cleanest win. In terms of guidance, Wall Street got a little bit nervous. Target raised the full-year outlook, sales growth of around 4%, earnings near the high end of $7.50 to $8.50. Sounds confident, but in terms of what the full-year number requires, comps slowing to 1% the rest of the year. So listen to that again. The company just printed 5.6% growth, then told everyone you should expect 1% going forward. That's why the stock dropped. Investors didn't punish a bad quarter. They punished a pretty good quarter attached to a forecast that said, don't get used to this. So here's where I land. The quarter is real. The traffic is real. I feel like I'm in Ronald Reagan or Gorbachev. Trust but verify mode here. It's not yet a trend. 2 points make a line, not 1 point. Management called this early proof points, which is something, right? But proof of nothing yet. So what do you do with it? This is the first evidence for a while that fixes might be working. And if you're thinking about getting into Target, don't chase this pop. Maybe wait until you see what's going on a little more. What you need to watch is not whether Q1 was good, but whether Q2 says it actually meant anything. Our third story, Google and Blackstone to launch AI cloud company. Last Monday, Google and Blackstone reportedly said they're starting a company together. No name for it yet, but the size of the bet tells you most of what you need to know. Blackstone is putting in $5 billion of equity, and the whole thing could end up backing around $25 billion in computing investments once you factor in the debt. What they're building is an AI cloud company, the kind that rents out computing power to the labs training and running big AI models. Right now, the biggest name in that business is CoreWeave, which runs on NVIDIA chips. This new venture won't. It'll run on Google's own silicon, the chips Google calls TPUs. The last part is really the story. For years, people in the industry kept asking the same question. Will Google ever sell its homemade chips to outsiders at scale? And mostly, it really didn't. It kept the best hardware for itself. So this is the answer, and it could be a yes in the future. Google already gave Anthropic access to something like 1 million of these chips and signed a separate deal with Meta. Now it's going even further in building a whole business around selling that compute. For NVIDIA, it's worth watching closely. They own AI computing the way Intel once owned the PC. Every serious challenger has struggled to land a punch against them. Google might be the first one with chips, software, and a partner with deep enough pockets to actually make a dent. A few numbers to hang on to, though. The plan is to switch on 500 megawatts of capacity in 2027. That's roughly the power of a mid-sized city, except here it's all going to run AI. The CEO is Benjamin Traynor Sloss, a longtime Google executive, and Blackstone, not Google, will hone the majority ownership. Why Blackstone? Well, they have quietly become one of the biggest data center landlords on the planet. They bought QTS in 2021, then AirTrunk in 2024. Its chairman, Steven Schwarzman, says the firm is sitting on more than $150 billion of data center assets, with another $160 billion in the pipeline. This deal runs through a brand new Blackstone unit set up just to make AI bets, and the Google venture is only its second move. The first, a few weeks back, was a deal with Anthropic. So if you step back for a second, two of the heaviest hitters in tech and finance are going up to take on NVIDIA and CoreWeave at the same time. Whether it works, we'll see, but can Google's chips really go toe-to-toe with NVIDIA outside of Google's walls? Nobody knows yet, but we'll find out in 2027. And our last story. Publicis Group acquires LiveRamp for $2.2 billion. This past Sunday, May 17th, a French advertising giant spent $2.2 billion on a data company most people have never really heard of. The buyer is Publicis Group. The target is LiveRamp. And the reasoning behind the check tells you a lot about where the ad business thinks AI is going. So who's LiveRamp? It's a data collaboration platform, which is a clunky name for something fairly specific. It lets different companies pool and connect their data without handing over the raw customer records. A retailer and a bank can find customers, they share, run analysis together, and neither one ever sees the other's private files. LiveRamp wires together more than 25,000 publisher sites and over 500 technology and data partners across 14 markets with about 1,300 employees. Now, the price, Publicis is paying $38.50 a share, all cash. That's close to a 30% premium over where LiveRamp closed the Friday before the announcement. $2.2 billion. So it's actually the biggest deal Publicis has done since it bought Epsilon back in 2019, and the folks at Axios reckons it could thaw out what had been a slow stretch for ad tech mergers. The actual logic is this. Publicis keeps repeating one phrase, data co-creation. And what does it mean? An AI agent is only as smart as the data it reads. Garbage in, garbage out. Publicis is betting that the companies sitting on the richest, hardest-to-copy data will end up with the best agents. And owning LiveRamp gives its clients a way to combine data sources a competitor can't replicate. CEO Arthur Sadoun pitched it as looking ahead to what's next, the same instinct he had with Epsilon and the move away from tracking cookies. The part worth watching is that LiveRamp built its whole reputation on being neutral. Brands, publishers, and rival platforms trust it precisely because it didn't take sides. Publicis has promised that the neutrality survives the sale, but the new owner is one of the largest ad companies on the planet, and plenty of LiveRamp customers compete head-on with Publicis. Whether those customers keep trusting that referee that now suits up for one of the other teams, we'll see what happens, and we won't know until after the acquisition starts. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Coursera, an agentic operating system for CPG, announced it's raised $4.2 million in seed funding. Is agentic operating system the new buzzword? Story 2. Mind Robotics, an industrial robotics platform spun off from Rivian Electric Vehicles, announced that it's raised additional $400 million in new funding. Story 3. Zig, an agentic operating system for brands, announced it's raised a $60 million Series A funding round and have raised $58 million in seed funding in March 2026. Story 4. LVMH has sold Marc Jacobs to a joint venture between brand manager WHP Global and apparel company G3 Apparel Group, who are raising up to $850 million to fund the deal. And finally, QXO acquired TopBuild in a $17 billion cash and stock deal, creating the second largest building products distributor in North America. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter which you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com.